Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today we are into our third week of playing a teaching that I did in Phoenix, Arizona, and we recorded it, and we're actually playing the teaching from the seminar here on our television program. I'm talking about Don't Limit God times 10. And what I mean by that is it's 10 years after the Lord spoke to me, the second most important encounter I ever had with God, where He told me I was limiting what He could do through me because of my small thinking. And so I've been teaching on this. I've already covered a lot of material, and I've been talking about how that fear limits God. And I had a fear of persecution, a fear of failure, a fear of a lot of things. And on yesterday's broadcast, and then today also, I'm going to be talking about a fear of success. And some people don't recognize this, but success has hurt more people, I believe ruined more people than hardship and failure ever has. You know, even a person with a minimal commitment to the Lord will seek God when their back's against the wall because there's no other way out. But when things begin to work and success comes, that's when people tend to coast and not seek the Lord. And that's like David. This is when he got into trouble with Bathsheba, is because he wasn't doing what God had anointed him to do. He was so prosperous. He wasn't hungry for God the way he had been before. And this was a major fear in my life. And the Lord finally just spoke to me that I needed to trust Him. He had spent 38 years at that time preparing me for what I was doing. And He said I just needed to trust Him. And so anyway, I'm sharing some things that have made a huge difference in my life. I think this will help you. We're going to go back into this teaching taken from our Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar. Jesus said, "Beware when all men speak well of you, for so spoke they of the prophets that were before you." 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, "Yea, all those who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." If you aren't suffering persecution, you aren't living godly. Was that too complicated? Anybody miss that? You know what? If nobody says anything critical about you, you are not being a good Christian. You aren't ministering the word properly. Jesus said, if they've crucified me, if they've criticized me, they will also criticize you. If the master of the house has received criticism, you'll receive criticism. I don't like it, but you know what? I've gotten to where I just rest in God, and God loves me, and criticism and persecution is not going to detract me or stop me from doing what God told me to do. I've got hundreds, maybe thousands of blogs written about me on the internet that I'm a terrible person. Lies abound. I've got all kinds of stuff. And you know what? It just isn't going to change me. Amen? I'm not surprised by it. And it doesn't make me sit there and curl into a fetal position and suck my thumb and talk about it. Nobody likes me. Amen. I could minister a lot more on that. But anyway, a fear of people, a fear of persecution paralyzes a lot of people. They are just not willing to take any criticism. They are so frail. And that's because that's really an indication of your lack of relationship with God. You want the praises of men more than you want the praises of God. If that's you, you will limit God. You will not see God's full potential. And here's another one. I had to write some of these scriptures down because I don't use these verses a lot. But in my personal situation, when God spoke to me 10 years ago, you know what? Probably the biggest fear in my life was a fear of success. Which some of you don't understand what I'm saying here. But success has destroyed much more people than hardship and failure ever has. We often have people say things like, "Man, it's when you're, you know, suffering and when everything's going wrong, this really shows what's in you." No, what really reveals what's on the inside of you is when everything's going good.
Anybody with even minimal commitment to God will seek God when things aren't working and it looks like you're going to die and you can't get out of it on your own. People will turn to God. Even people that don't love God will turn to God and cry out for help and ask God for help when they're in a bind. But did you know what is a greater indication of what's on the inside of you is when everything's going good and you don't have to have God? How much do you study then? How much do you pray then? There's a lot of scriptures that talk about this. You know, let me read a few of these to you quickly. I got to hurry through this. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7 through 9, it says, "Two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies, give me neither poverty nor riches, feed me with food convenient for me. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." And this is repeated many places in Scripture, but he's saying that, you know, either have adversity or prosperity, but it would be better just to be kind of somewhere in the middle, because if you're really poor, it can discourage you and break you, but also prosperity will get to a point that you deny the Lord. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 8, the whole chapter is Moses writing to the Israelites saying, when you go into the promised land and you enter into these houses that were built by giants, I mean they're mansions, and you have fields that have already been cleared and crops that have already been planted and everything has already been done, and you come into all of this prosperity, he says, you beware that you don't forget that it's the Lord who gave you this power to get wealth so that he could establish his covenant. There is a fear in prosperity. Prosperity destroys more people than adversity ever does. And this is one of the things we're dealing with in our nation right now. We're so prosperous that we've got spoiled people that feel like that if they don't have five flat screen TVs, the government ought to do something about it. This Occupy Wall Street, I wanted to go up to all of those people and say, well, give me your iPod, your smartphone, your all of these things, all of the gadgets. These people are griping about having nothing and they've got so much. But prosperity hardens a lot of people's hearts to the Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, I believe it's verse 7, it talks about Saul, and Samuel prophesied to him. And Saul had completely rejected God, and because of it, God said through Samuel, because you've rejected the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. And then Samuel told him this, I think it was 1 Samuel 15. It says, when you were little in your own eyes, in your own sight, you were made head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. But it goes on to talk about now you've been lifted up with pride. And because of it, Saul lost the kingdom. You can also talk about Uzziah. That's over in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 16. And Uzziah was a king that started out humble, and he started serving God. And God gave him witty inventions, is what it said. He built these engines that gave him a military advantage, and because of it, he was able to conquer everybody. The kingdom was established. This man prospered, prospered, prospered. But then he got lifted up with pride, and he went into the temple and thought, I'm going to offer a sacrifice to God. He occupied the priest place, which a king couldn't do that. And because of it, God smote him with leprosy. And he left that place a leper in the sight of God. And it was his prosperity. When he was little, he started out good. David did the same thing. 2 Samuel chapter 11, it says, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look on. And this is the chapter that discusses David's sin with Bathsheba and killing her husband so he could cover up his adultery. Notice in the first verse it says, at the time when kings go forth to battle. When David was young, when he was small, before the kingdom was established, he led the fight. He always led his troops into battle because that's the time that kings go forth to battle. But now he had become so prosperous that he was able to stay and send other people to do what God anointed him to do. And he was bored. You can tell it because it says in verse 2, in the eventide, he rose up off of his bed and got into trouble. If you're just getting up when the sun's going down, that means you're sleeping during the day. That means you're bored stiff. That means he wasn't doing anything. He sent other people out to do what God called him to do. And David, who started out so God-dependent, got independent of God because of prosperity. And anyway, because of these things, I actually was aware that if the Lord was to multiply this ministry and give me more influence and have me start reaching more and more people, that it could be the destruction of me. And I was fearful of that. And some of you may think that that's strange. But I honestly was fearful of success and what it potentially could do. And I prayed about that long and hard. And the Lord finally spoke to me. He says, I've been working on you for 43 years or 33 years at the time. He says, you just need to trust that I've prepared you for this. Amen. And so I went ahead and had to overcome that fear and just say, all right, Father, I'll take it. Whatever comes with it. But you know, it can be weird the way that we think sometimes. The fears that we have that hold us back. But some of you could be afraid of success. I think part of this also was just a sense of unworthiness, which, you know, I hate to admit because, man, God has spoken to me for 43 years about who I am in Christ, and this is one of the strong points in my life. I know that God loves me. I know that God carries my picture in His wallet. I am absolutely convinced of it. But you know what? I still have to deal with what other people think of me and stuff like that, and I just didn't feel worthy for God to use me. I've said it before, but if I was God, I wouldn't have picked me. There's other people that are better. Hey, you don't have to amen that too well. And you know, part of the way that this was revealed to me was in December of 2001. The Lord dealt with me for about 45 days before I finally figured out that I was limiting Him. And part of this process was that we started looking for a new office space because we had totally maxed out the 14,600 square foot office that we were in. And so when we started looking for a new place, I was out traveling and ministering, and Jamie was with a realtor looking at a place. And when I got back from the airport, she picked me up and showed me a couple of places. And some of the places that they were looking at were 30,000 square feet. And Jamie said, I think that'll probably hold us forever. And when she said that, I thought, oh, no, because God had spoken to me that someday we would have one of the largest ministries in the world and we would be reaching people all around the world. And I knew it. But you know what? Jamie and I share everything. We talk about everything. And I hadn't even told Jamie all of the vision that I had because I'd been criticized. And when you are having people stay away from your meetings by the thousands and nothing is working, you just get a lot of criticism if you go to speaking forth your vision. So back in the very beginning, I got criticized so much, I just quit speaking the things that God had put in my heart. And I realized I hadn't even shared this with Jamie. And boy, that was a major shock to me. And it showed me that, you know what, I was afraid of sharing my vision with people. I hadn't told people about the vision that God had put in my heart. And then I was in Tulsa just a few weeks later, and I was being interviewed by Lynn and Kathy Mink on this radio program on David Engel's radio station. And they had a deal where they gave the news, and then they gave the weather, and then they introduced their guest, and they took a commercial break and invited me in. And so anyway, I was sitting out in this waiting room with David Engels talking to him, and Lynn and Kathy Mink, who are the music directors for Kenneth Copeland, and all of these, I've been watching them and been to their meetings for years. And they were talking about how that when they first got born again, I'm the very first person they ever heard minister the gospel, and that they were raised on my teaching, and it had changed their life, and it was one of the major influences in their life. And they were just saying all these nice things about me. And it embarrassed me so much that when I got in there into the radio studio, I could hardly talk. And you know, it was illogical because I've been on radio since 1976, I think it was, constant. I've been on hundreds of radio stations. You would think that somebody someplace would hear you. So logically, I understood it, but I just had never allowed myself to think that I was really influencing people and contacting people because I was afraid of being lifted up in pride. And God just used all of these different things to combine and show me how that I was limiting what He could do in my life because of my false humility and my sense of unworthiness and fear of success and other stuff. And I had to confront that and deal with it. And I tell you, it's amazing. I mentioned some of this on Thursday night, but when I made the change in my heart and I said, praise God, I am going to do what God called me to do, regardless of the potential for failure, for rejection, persecution, potential for pride or whatever, I'm going to do what God told me. And when I made that decision and changed, within weeks, everything in our ministry changed. I mean, within weeks, our ministry began to just explode. The Lord has shown me it's kind of like God was pouring all of these blessings and things out on me since He called me to minister 44 years ago. He was pouring all of this out, and I had dammed it up. I had this huge dam built up that was holding back all of the blessings and the things that God was wanting to do in my life. And when I finally yielded and said, all right, I'll do it, and I removed that and started speaking my faith, I mean, it's like that dam burst, and boom, here comes the power of God. And I really believe that that's true for many of you in here, that God's got a great plan for your life. He's got awesome purposes. But we've got all of these things that we do that limit what God can do in our life. And I can testify, it doesn't take 10 years. 10 years, I've seen awesome things happen. But within weeks, I begin to start seeing miraculous response. Tremendous things happening. David and Gail Hardesty are a part of that equation. They just, God spoke to them independent of me. I didn't say it, and told them to take retirement and come out and help us take this ministry to the next level. I couldn't do what I'm doing without David and Gail. All of these people. God has sent us some of the most awesome people. Man, if any of you were to go to our ministry and meet the people that God has put with us, it is just absolutely supernatural, the things that God is happening. And I mean, all of this had been there. God had determined it since before I was born, and yet I was limiting what God could do in my life by my stinking thinking. And brothers and sisters, many of you are doing this. And it wasn't because I was a bad person, and it wasn't because I didn't love God. I loved God, and I had a good relationship with God. You can be a good person. You can love God. God can be using you. I'd seen my son raised from the dead. I was seeing things happen. It's not like my life was totally wrong. But man, it was much, much less than what God wanted it to be. And I'm just telling you that I think many people, even most people, are in that same situation. And there's people right here today that you need to quit limiting God. You need to repent. If you are worried about what your parents are going to say, what some relative is going to say, you know what? You need to cut the umbilical cord and just stand on your own. If you're worried about people at work, about the people at your church, about all of these other things, you need to get rid of this stuff. You need to confront it. And if you in your heart feel fear and reservations because how would other people accept this, then you've got more of a hindrance than what it should be. You need to deal with that and get to a place to where you might pray and say, God, help me to minimize the damage if this is going to offend people, but you're going to do it anyway. You just need to get to a place to where you're going to do what God told you to do. You are not going to limit Him because of a fear of other people, a fear of what it might do to you because you're lazy and you're just taking the easy way out. You resist change. You need to get rid of all of these things because God has a great purpose for every person in here. I believe that with all of my heart. And you need to move in that direction. So how do I do that? Well, come back tonight, and I'm going to talk about your imagination. This will amaze you, some of the things that the Scripture has to say about your imagination. I think this will really, really bless you. Also, let me just mention once again that there's many of you in here who know that something has to happen, and you just don't know what. And you're at a loss. And this isn't the first time that you felt this way. And yet, it passes. Did you know that the average person, hopefully you, none of you in here are average, but if you're average, the average person will get stirred up and think about this while I'm ministering on it. But within a day or two, you'll be back in your routine and you'll forget it. Satan comes immediately to steal away the word. And so you got to do something to make a difference. And for many people, again, many of you will think this is just a crass commercial. It's not meant that way. It's just an opportunity. It's a vehicle to help you. But for many of you, that first step could be Bible college. I can guarantee you, if you make a commitment and you start spending 4 hours a day sitting under powerful, anointed teaching of the Word, it will change you. I can guarantee you, if there's any flame on the inside of you, it'll fan it into a raging fire. And it will transform your life. And many of you just need to do something. And Bible college could be a thing. So I encourage you to go to that meeting. It'll be taking place in just a few minutes here. Let's pray and then I'll let you go. Father, we love you and we thank you for these truths. Thank you, Father, that you have delivered us from the fear of men and a fear of success. All of these things that hinder people. Father, I thank you that perfect love cast out fear. And for any person who's been confronted with some of these things in their life, I'm asking that today the Holy Spirit would show them how to overcome those things, how to persevere and go beyond it and get into a place to where the only person that matters is Jesus and what He thinks of us, our relationship with Him. Father, whatever these things are that hold people back, in the name of Jesus, I just speak that they are being broken. That today we are cutting the umbilical cord. We are going to pull our thumb out of our mouth and grow up and get to a place where we're secure in you and we don't have to have people's opinion to be able to thrive. Thank you, Jesus. I believe that you're doing a work in people's lives, miraculous work, and that people are being changed forever. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we agree and we receive it in the name of Jesus.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, Don't Limit God Times 10, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Every album will also include the Don't Limit God sticker. This reversible static decal will cling to your window or mirror, reminding you not to limit God with small thinking. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The fourth audio teaching in today's series is titled, Fear of Man Limits God. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the UK this week for the Grace and Faith Family Conference, June 1st through the 4th. In Colorado Springs, Colorado, for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, July 2nd through the 6th. In the New England area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, July 26th through the 28th. And in Chicago, Illinois, for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 16th through the 18th. He'll also be in Toronto and Minneapolis for special one-night-only Gospel Truth rallies, June 15th and 16th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I've never had such good teaching, and I have been to Bible schools, Bible colleges. I graduated from a Christian high school. Nobody teaches like these here. You know why? Because they teach you to know Jesus.
Charis Bible College has been making disciples and changing lives since 1994. And we've outgrown our Colorado Springs facility. Phase one of our new Woodland Park CBC campus has been fully funded and completed. And phase two of the project is gearing up right now. Andrew and Jamie would like to give you the opportunity to join hands with them by becoming a foundation builder and contributing financially toward building the lives of CBC world changers. You can get more information by calling, writing, or logging on to awmi.net/partnership. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College today. Change your life. Change the world.
I'd like to give you an invitation to join me on July the 2nd through the 6th for our Summer Family Bible Conference. I tell you, this is always a highlight of the year. We're going to have children's ministry. We have hundreds of children that are ministered to in a very special way. We have special CBC information and registration. We will have the morning sessions. We'll all be our normal CBC hours. I'll be ministering every evening. We'll have our CBC band and choir ministering. It's just a great time, so make plans to join me on July the 2nd through the 6th. You can go to our website for more information.
Don't forget the special barbecue luncheon concert Wednesday, July 4th. Tickets are only $15 for adults and $10 for children ages 5 through 9. Tickets must be purchased online no later than Monday, June 25th. The 2012 Summer Family Bible Conference, July 2nd through 6th at the Pikes Peak Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Log on to awmi.net for registration information.
It is not enough for you to have need. Need doesn't motivate God. God is motivated by His own love to meet our needs, and His power is available, but the thing that will release or appropriate this power of God is faith.